Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So we're going to play around with some statistics this morning that may explain how sometimes the top 1% of earners in the United States can sound as angry with the government and the economy as some of those 99% Occupy Wall Street protesters do. Joining us now is Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
Louise, what does federal tax data say about the sense of contentment or lack of contentment among the top 1% of earners over the last few years?
Well, it says that, you know, in 2009, even the rich were hurt, too. So I know that a lot of people Occupy Wall Street are not going to feel sorry for the top 1%, but according to the federal tax data, their average income did fall in 2009. It had been in 2007, it had been at $1.4 million on average, and it fell to $957,000.
And that's interesting, not so much because we want to drum up sympathy for the rich, but we want to take a look at whether the structural income inequality in the economy might be changing, and also why the rich aren't necessarily going to feel happy with the current situation.
That's right. So, you know, this has been a big question among economists and policymakers. You know, did income inequality get out of control? There's also a lot of academics who have been looking at whether the fact that the top 1% was making so much of the money, I mean, they hadn't made this much money since 1928, right before the 1929 crash, until we got back to 2007. It was at that peak again. And a lot of people are studying if that can cause a financial crisis. So this drop is important, but there are many economists arguing that it may be temporary because in 2009, if you remember, the stock market went down a lot, and people on the top 1% tend to own a lot more stock than regular people. And this data includes their capital gains, the amount of money they make on the stock market. And it came back in 2010, so we might see that this rebounds.
Louise Story, you know, it's one thing for the top income earners reaching a peak like in 1928. It's one thing for it to be a predictor of an economic crisis, another for it to be a cause, and then quite another for the economic calamity that occurs to actually begin to equalize things. Is there any evidence of the latter, that things are beginning to be set straight, or maybe the peaks are being modified a little bit?
Well, you do have conservative economists who are pointing to these figures and saying, look, it's reversing. And in fact, after the 1929 crash, there were decades of where the middle class incomes grew more in the 40s, 50s, 60s, really up until 1980. The middle class was doing better than the top. And then since 1980, back in 1980, the top 1% just made one-tenth of the income. And then that got up to 23% of all income went to the top 1% by 2007. So it grew since then. But it's really too soon to say. So even though some economists say, look, this shows it's reversing, we've got to see the data for maybe 4 or 5 years. And what will determine whether it really reverses probably are bigger policy changes, maybe regulatory changes, tax changes. And, you know, not so much has been changed yet.
And, you know, the issue is not necessarily a restoration of equity, which is probably what the Occupy Wall Street protesters would want, but in a sense, the economy seeking a safety zone to prevent future calamities. Louise, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Louise Story is Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times.